Hello. On this podcast, we talk about movies, their faults, their flaws, and their plots. So, expect some spoilers.
You've been warned.
Welcome to Plot Spackle.
I'm John, and my lightsaber color would be green.
I'm Eric, and my lightsaber color would be yellow.
I'm Richard. My lightsaber color is kind of a silvery white.
All right, guys. And looks like we're continuing Star Wars, but what are we filling our plot holes with?
Well, there's so much sand.
Should we use the sand? I mean, it's kind of coarse and rough.
But it gets everywhere.
Yeah, we'll get in the holes. It's going to get in the potholes even if we don't use it, so might as well push it in, right?
Yep.
What are your thoughts, Eric?
I think so, yeah. Sand is abundant in these series. I mean, I think there's only one movie that didn't actually have a sand planet on there.
I mean, but yeah, the asteroids are pretty sandy, right?
No, they're rocky. Sandy and rocky are different.
All right. So Empire Strikes Back, only a Star Wars movie without sand in it.
And arguably the best Star Wars movie, so... I mean,
there you go.
If we're correlating things.
The correlation of quality in a Star Wars movie is
directly proportional to its number of sand planet.
Inversely proportional.
Yeah, so Anakin Skywalker is right. Don't like sand.
Now you know.
So we're going
to... Learning and growing.
So we're going to continue our a Star Wars series as we talk about the plot holes in the prequel trilogy.
All right. And I'm going to give you a quick synopsis of the overarching trilogy.
Well, it's going to... Be real quick here.
Well, I'm just going to say the prequel trilogy is what happens when George Lucas decides to start a sequel. He goes the wrong way again. I mean, he had his experience with Indiana Jones and he got his sequel to that. It's like, nope, it's before. George, I don't think sequels come before movies. Nope, it's a sequel. But anyways, I digress. So the sequel or the prequel trilogy is what happens when someone decides to take their space fantasy and turn it into space science fiction. Oh yeah, those magical powers, they're actually little bugs in your blood. But yeah, Star Wars is, or the prequel series, is the rise and fall of Anakin Skywalker. So it's kind of the opposite of a redemption story. But I mean, I guess I'll tie in. They'll get around to making three other movies that will fix that.
See, I thought it was about how a small town Gungan ends up becoming a government official, but ultimately helps bring down that government through poor decision-making. I mean, if you think about it, Jar Jar Binks, I mean, he goes through a rise and a fall.
Yeah, he had a ton of screen time in the first movie, not so much in the second, and...
Almost none in the third, but he goes from being the exile village idiot to becoming a general in an army, to becoming a senator... to being invested with power, to start a war, and granting emergency powers to a villain.
I think Sidious was going to get those emergency powers whether Jar Jar helped or not. He was just the one dumb enough to
Look,
give it to
man,
him.
Jar Jar Binks is just the secret apprentice. It's all the signs are there. You think he's really that dumb? Nah, he was engineering the death of the Jedi the entire time.
He knew where the droids were going to be.
Oh, I bet it's when... Qui-Gon caught his tongue on Tatooine, and Gungans take that as a grave offense.
Why do you think Qui-Gon had to die?
So anyways, let's get some facts about these movies and not just wild speculation.
All right. So, Phantom Menace was released on May 19th, 1999. It had a budget of about $115 million, and in the opening weekend earned $64 million back. Grossed $444 million, and cumulative worldwide was over $1
billion. Yay! Is that like today dollars or 1999 or $2,000?
Whatever dollars IMDb uses to tell us how many dollars things earn. So probably today dollars.
Okay, we'll have to figure that out.
It made monies.
It made a lot of monies.
And they kept making them.
And so on May 16th, 2002... we got Attack of the Clones. That one also had the $115 million budget. It earned $80,000 in its opening weekend, so it was doing better than Phantom Menace.
80 million or 80,000?
80 million.
Yeah.
80 million in opening weekend. But it only got 310 gross in the U.S. and only 649 million in cumulative worldwide.
Mm.
So it started off stronger and then just kind of...
had some word of mouth that maybe it wasn't great.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, with The Phantom Menace as well, how long had it been since the last Star Wars movie? And even like... I know they made the special editions. They gave those a theatrical run. I think it was still like almost 7 years between the special edition run and Phantom Menace.
All right. And our final entry?
The final one was May 19th again, but this time in 2005. That one only had a $113 million budget, but it earned $108 million on its opening weekend. Only $380 million in the U.S., but was back up to $850 million worldwide. So not as successful as Phantom Menace, but still doing better than Attack of the Clones.
But all in all, Star Wars, it worth money.
Yes, even the most despised prequel trilogy was a sound investment.
I was just going to say despised, that's kind of harsh.
Talk to the internet.
The internet is wrong about lots of things.
I'm not saying they're not wrong. I'm just saying that they despise it.
I'm saying the internet is made of emotion. So if it's emotion, you know they're being honest.
And hyperbole. The internet is definitely hyperbole. The best hyperbole ever.
The greatest of hyperboles. But yeah, I'd say it's considered the weakest of the prequel trilogy. And also weakest of the ones that came before.
Wait, Revenge of the Sith?
Attack of the Clones.
Oh, okay.
Revenge of the Sith is the...
I'd put that as top of the prequels.
That is hard to judge.
And then for your random interesting fact, The Phantom Menace is actually the only Star Wars film that no one uses the word lightsaber in. The only person to talk about them during that film is young Anakin, who talks about the cool laser sword the Jedi have.
All right.
So now you know.
Here we are. Interesting fact. One of a kind. No lightsabers mentioned.
So let's get to plot holes, shall we?
Let's fill these plot holes.
We are getting these plot holes from IMDb.
As well as a couple off of...
DigitalSpy.
All right, so...
.com.
I'll get us started off with The Phantom Menace.
Thanks, Richard.
The premise behind Anakin having to win his pod race is because Watto wouldn't accept Republic credits from Qui-Gon Jinn as payment for their parts for their ship needs. I mean, surely there's at least one person in the spaceport, like, I don't know, a banker, that would be willing to exchange local currency for Republic credits, especially since Qui-Gon was willing to use the Force to persuade Watto to accept the currency he had.
Oh, I mean, that's making an assumption that there is, in fact, a currency trading business set up, and this is the back end of the universe.
That's apparently right next to Naboo, so we got to remember that. Tatooine is like the closest planet within range of, so Naboo must be like
also the Styx,
or maybe on the edge of the Styx. Maybe it's like the last the pit stop before the
400. No food, no fuel.
Yeah, it's the last pit stop before.
Plus, it's under control of the Hutts.
Tatooine is not. I was like,
Naboo. Yeah. Tatooine is controlled by the Hutts, and they're crime lords. So any money exchange they're doing is really you just laundering their bad money.
And since we get to address plot holes throughout the set of three films here, the banking clans also funded the Trade Federation that were against the Jedi in the war that's going on. And so maybe the Jedi might not have had the greatest exchange rate, even if they could find financial currency exchange.
Another thing, too, they're on the run from the Trade Federation. If they're going to a money changer, who's to say that that money changer isn't in cahoots with the Trade Federation? It's like, oh, by the way, those two Jedis that you tried to kill? Yeah, they're over here. Come kill them over here, please.
Also, given that Watto treats Republic credits as basically worthless out here, maybe the exchange rate for Republic credits is so bad that Qui-Gon just didn't even bother.
Like he didn't. He's like, all right, well, this will work, and finds out they're not accepted. He comes to the term with he can't buy bread with the Republic credits he has.
Yeah.
So there we go. All right. So how about this? Qui-Gon tries to free Shmi, but Watto wouldn't have it. So at this point, Watto was a bankrupt, disreputable junk dealer in a town run by gangsters. Why can't Qui-Gon just free Shmi?
I'm going to guess that Watto needs to use Shmi to pay off some of his gambling debts. So at that point, when Watto is bankrupt, Shmi's not his anymore in slaving terms.
I mean, it also could be that Qui-Gon fears angering the local government, as it were, because he does threaten Watto with the fact that if he does not respect the terms of the bet, that he'll go to the Hutt clans. And so he might be afraid of, you know, having Watto go to the Hutt clans and say, hey, this dude totally freed this slave, took my property.
Because if the Hutts started backing things, it would go bad.
And so, you know, plus Jedi don't steal.
Much. I mean,
much.
From a certain point of view.
I think Qui-Gon was actually some sort of hippy-dippy Jedi. And like if a regular Jedi came through and is like, no, we'll go, we'll find the right exchange rate. We'll get your credits. Qui-Gon's like, free love, man. Everything belongs to everyone. See how he has that long hair? He's a hippie.
Well, speaking of Qui-Gon and hippy-dippy religious nonsense like the Jedi Order, what about them midichlorians that he's all on about? How come he's super big onto midichlorians and then they are literally never brought up ever again?
So my theory on this, I mean, well, I have two. Like, there's the more serious one, which is that midichlorians are what we call a lie to children. It falls in the veins of, in 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue because, you know, everyone thought the world was flat. But that's not really accurate. But getting to the complicated truth of it, it's a little much for kids. And so maybe midichlorians don't grow and don't give people the force. They're just more present in people who have the force. But he didn't want to, like, explain that. And that's the more serious answer.
All right.
My crackpot theory,
which is the best theory,
is that midichlorians are Qui-Gon Jinn's crackpot theory. This is like horoscopes.
They're the space bugs.
Like, he's got all these, this research into it, and he's constantly asking for more money from the Jedi Council to do research into this, and they just kind of roll their eyes.
And Mace Windu gets all upset.
And he's all like, oh, and his, like, fan... Like, you know, his ranking, he's got Yoda up high. He's like, he's got over 9,000 midichlorians. And he's like, this kid has even more.
Well, to be fair, he did have to get a scanner out to determine that Anakin had over a 9,000 rating. So, but how many people actually have that quote-unquote scanner that tells the blood thing? I don't know.
Anybody with Scouter.
So I just feel like, you know, it was Qui-Gon Jinn's little thing. He's like, man, midichlorians cause the Force. And everyone was just going along with it to keep him happy. Then as soon as he was done, they're like, all right, just take this research and put it in that cabinet.
Oh, that's very good, Qui-Gon. Yeah, I'm going to put that on the refrigerator. That was a good job.
Yoda thinks it's right, too.
No, well, Yoda says that the Force is in the rock, and rocks don't have blood, and midichlorians are in blood. So therefore... And that's Empire Strikes Back, by the way. That disproves the midichlorian theory, because rocks don't have blood.
So all of Qui-Gon Jinn's research ended up in a closet somewhere, along with the location of Kamino.
Yeah, that makes sense. It was deleted. Well, no one could delete anything from the Jedi archives. That's impossible.
Never, ever.
All right, so in Empire Strikes Back...
That's not this trilogy at all, John.
We hear about how Yoda trained Obi-Wan Kenobi. But when we're in the Phantom Menace, we find out that it was Qui-Gon Jinn who trained Obi-Wan Kenobi. So why did Yoda lie?
I don't think Yoda lied. I don't think Yoda lied in that Yoda was Obi-Wan's, like, college teacher. Whereas Qui-Gon Jinn was maybe, like, his junior high teacher. And you can... I don't know. I remember one of my junior high teachers, but I remember a lot more of my college teachers because they had a greater impact on me.
And they're more recent.
Or the other thing, you can also flip that, because all that we see is Obi-Wan running around with Qui-Gon, but Yoda could have trained him for who knows how many years before then, especially when you're starting with, I don't know how old those younglings are.
I don't know when they hand him the lightsabers, but we know they take him, like, as babies.
So Yoda could have been instructing him since the time he could remember. So, and then he's been running around with Qui-Gon for, like, a year and a half.
So we do observe in Attack of the Clones that Yoda instructs younglings. So it's very possible that Yoda is just really good at teaching kids with little force knowledge how to do stuff. And we all know that's where Luke was at the time.
It's true.
Well, the reason why Yoda is so good at teaching kids is because he's a Muppet. And kids respond well to Sesame Street.
It's true. So that's why he probably did get trained by Yoda, and Yoda probably was telling the truth. Unfortunately, we don't get to see Obi-Wan's entire life. Sorry, guys.
Not until Disney Plus gets a hold of it.
Ho-ho.
All right. Now, after they fight Darth Maul, they happen to know that there's another Sith, because there are always two Sith, right?
Well, that's what we hear about.
But then, like in the Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, they're always trying to recruit Luke, and then there'd be like three of them. Wouldn't that be awkward? And then also like in the Clone Wars, there's like a half dozen apprentices. If you look at the timeline, the Jedi Master who was working for Sidious, who gets the clone army started, is concurrent with Darth Maul. I mean, it just seems that this rule isn't enforced very well.
Maybe it's not actually a rule for the Sith.
Guidelines is more like it.
I mean, they seem to not be super keen on following rules that other people set for them. And it also seems like the Jedi aren't super well informed about the Sith in general, other than these are the guys that go around throwing force lightning and killing a bunch of people. They bad.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree with that. I think the Jedi are woefully uninformed about the Sith. And also, it makes sense that the Sith are all like, yeah, these are our rules. And you're only a Sith as long as you realize rules only apply as long as someone enforces them. So I think that's the couple from Digital Spy.
All right.
Then let's move on to Attack of the Clones, the best 1950s B-movie title of the series.
Pretty much.
It is a pretty good title.
And by pretty good, you mean pretty bad, right?
I mean that
a 1950s film would have used it.
I feel like it brings me joy. It falls in with the whole...
Condu's Razor?
Also the pulp feel, the serial style, what Star Wars is supposed to be.
Episodes of Flash Gordon, if you will.
So, during the fight with Count Dooku, Obi-Wan, and Anakin, Obi-Wan is disabled by Count Dooku and falls on the ground. As Count Dooku is about to slice Obi-Wan, Anakin jumps in to block the lightsaber blade. Obi-Wan then throws his lightsaber to Anakin, and in the shot, Obi-Wan is nowhere near in the wide-angle shot. So, where did he go?
He force slid away while the camera was away.
Yep. Or much like bullets and blasters and other things throw people far further than they really should. Obi-Wan managed to go much further than he should have as well from the force of the lightsaber blow.
Yeah, he used that opportunity to escape. And we didn't see it because he was using the force so well, because he is also trained in ninja powers.
I mean, we know that Obi-Wan knows how to disappear, so...
He's good at moving unseen.
That's true.
For those few seconds, he was old Ben Kenobi.
All right.
I mean, that sounds great. I mean, Obi-Wan is a master of stealth. I mean, how else is he supposed to wander around on a planet with bad teeth and people not instantly realize that, hey, that's a Jedi right there? But that's more of Revenge of the Sith, so let's get back to...
So we'll cut back to when Obi-Wan goes to Yoda's class to talk about the absence of the planet Kamino. He points to a spot and says the planet should be there, as gravity's pulling all the stars in the area to that spot. As a small aquatic planet, Kamino's gravity can in no way be noticeable compared to the gravity of a star, even if more than one star is present.
But doesn't it also have a star?
Yes.
See, I think he was looking for the whole system.
Because I thought in Star Wars, when they say system, it's like the solar system, like our solar system, in that it's the star and then however many planets there are.
Yeah, they
like Yavin 4?
Yavin 4 is a moon, so.
They tend to interchange systems and planets, too. So if it's like a system that has one planet that you actually care about, and the star and the planet, and sometimes the moon, like...
The forest moon of Endor?
Yeah. Is Endor the planet that the forest moon's around? Is the forest moon Endor?
Endor is the planet that the forest moon is around. The forest moon has no name, except I think it's like Ewoki or something. And that's where we get the name Ewoks.
And it is, and on a map, it'll be Endor as the whole system.
Yeah, so it's like if if our world, like Earth, was in the Star Wars universe, it would just be called the Earth system, right?
Something like that.
Even though we have 9 planets and...
Yeah, but we don't care about that. Or it'd be the Mars system because Mars is more important.
Well, no, they don't care about droids in this universe. And Mars is the only planet in the solar system that is completely inhabited by robots. So.
Well, that's a point. So yeah, it'd be the Earth system. And then you could go to Earth and it would be both things. And people wouldn't be confused because you just kind of know what they're talking about.
You have an astromech droid.
Contextual answers. Contextual linguistics are great. The other thing that on mine is the fact that math, as far as we know, works the same way, and you can actually track stuff by its gravity because it does put, like, even small things pull on a lot of stuff, and it's how we can actually tell some stars have planets around them because they move in erratic behaviors that we wouldn't expect them to otherwise. So these things that don't shed light, we can go, hey, look, there's something else here because it moves stuff.
So, yeah. He can follow the gravity because even small, it adds up over large numbers.
Don't they actually say that in the movie? Doesn't Yoda say that in the movie? Like, gravity's influence is still felt?
I don't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the scene.
I think Yoda actually does say, hey, there's still a gravity well here. He doesn't say that, obviously, but...
No, he would have said, gravity well present here there is, or something like that.
All right. Well, how about this? We see Obi-Wan and Yoda both shown blocking Force lightning, yet they never teach Luke how to do it, even when he's about to face Sidious 2 decades later.
Well, I mean, Obi-Wan didn't have a whole lot of time to train the kid anyhow.
Yeah, he just ran away.
He just went and got himself cut in half by Darth Vader.
We'll get his hand cut off at least.
Yeah, he got his hand cut off and then...
Luke. Obi-Wan.
Yeah, Obi-Wan.
Well, he becomes one with the Force, so and he disappears, so he doesn't have a body. So he was, I think, mentally preparing himself to just disappear into the Force.
That's how good he is at disappearing, guys.
Exactly.
And then, but I digress. That is once more Revenge of the Sith. We'll get there.
All right. Yeah, so I guess they just didn't have time to.
And well, so why didn't Yoda teach him? I think that Luke ran away before Yoda got to the Force lightning lesson. Maybe that was even the next one. Like,
Yoda's all excited. He's like, I'm going to teach him Force lightning blocking tomorrow.
And it's like, he's going to run around and I'm going to shoot lightning bolts at him. And he has, it's like, dodge. If you can dodge a rock, you can dodge a lightning bolt. But anyways, we digress. That's also in the, that's more of a plot hole in the original trilogy. Oh, and plus, in Return of the Jedi, Luke doesn't have his lightsaber to block the Force lightning. Obi-Wan needed his lightsaber. Yoda did not. So maybe it's just a freak characteristic of whatever alien Yoda is.
Maybe it just takes years and years and years of a... practice. Like, it takes 100 years of practicing, and so no human's ever been able to do it. You have to be like Yoda and live like hundreds of years.
Tell you what Luke's gonna have to do is go grab a fork from the drawer, go up to the power outlet, and stick that fork in a couple times, and then he'll get used to it and he'll be able to block the lightning. Or that's just a mean prank someone's playing on him. I don't know.
Possibly. All I know is Obi-Wan was training him to block things that he couldn't see. So, I mean, he was clearly doing the best he could to prepare the kid. He just kind of ran out of time.
And also, I mean, it's not like he was being trained specifically to fight the Emperor. And on list of things you're going to need to deal with, Force lightning is on the low end of likelihood. You're more likely to be shot by a stormtrooper than get Force lightning from a Sith Lord.
Which, again, think about that, guys. Think about that.
Well, I know that Tatooine has some pretty good shot stormtroopers. I mean, they have nothing better to do than shoot at Jawas and Womp Rats and...
Yeah, people. To be honest, it's really easy to hit the broadside of a sandcrawler. It's bigger than a barn.
But it says only Imperials are so precise. Anyways, yeah. That's an original trilogy. We should move on.
Let's talk about R2-D2's rockets. R2-D2 has like little booster rockets on the side of his... robot legs that he uses to fly around with in Attack of the Clones, and then he never has them again.
So my favorite theory on that is that the Jawas, when they captured him, broke his jetpacks, because you don't want any scrappy little R2 units just flying off on you before you can sell them to some sucker farmer. Restraining bolts will solve your programming issues, but the kid's got jetpacks, gonna use it.
I mean, he does try and shuffle away in A New Hope, and then they stop him by hitting the remote. So, I mean, if he's like just flying in the air and they hit stop, he just falls. And now they have damaged merchandise.
Exactly.
Not that they care too much, but...
And like, they were selling damaged merchandise with the R5 unit.
Yeah, but that was all in internal issues. It had a bad engine, but the body looks good.
A bad motivator. See, I think we talked about this on the original one. I think Skippy, the Jedi robot, or the Jedi droid, is actually a plant for the Jawas. In that they make him seem like a good deal, but darn that motivator, it happened to break right when they were about to take ownership of that droid. So might as well pay for the more expensive R2.
Oh, yeah, you needed the droid now. I mean, I guess they'll have to give you a slight discount.
But, I mean, this is an R2 astromech droid. Those are way better than R5 units.
Also, maybe, I feel like maybe R2 was just out of jet fuel.
Are you saying that jet fuel is like the printer ink of the Star Wars universe?
Yeah, well, we also see him, like, he uses it. And then also in Revenge of the Sith, there's the point where he, like, sprays the oil. What if that was actually the jet fuel and just kept enough to ignite it? And then he was all out. And afterwards, he's like, hey, can you guys get me some jet fuel? And Anakin's like, no, I'm too busy right now. I gotta go brood. And Obi-Wan Kenobi doesn't even like droids.
Oh, no. Obi-Wan Kenobi is definitely a droid racist. But I can understand it, you know, if droids were shooting at you all day, I would probably not find them too... I wouldn't be too happy about being around them as well.
And then I just feel like then he goes with the Organas, and I feel they're too responsible to give R2 jet fuel.
They've seen what kind of hijinks he got up to.
And then the Lars, they just... Owen Lars doesn't have jet fuel on hand. He just...
They're literal dirt... Well, water farmers, I guess. Moisture farmers.
They're the equivalent of dirt farmers in a land where dirt is plentiful.
See, I think the droid jet fuel is kind of like the printer ink of our world. Whereas you're going to try and squeeze it out as long as you possibly can. Because darn it, it's expensive. And sure, I only need black for this thing. Oh, the black's running out too. Do I really need... Oh, holy cow, $50?
If I just set the whole thing to 50% opacity, it's still readable. It'll work.
That's my head theory.
And is that how they get you? Like with astromechs? Is like the base model's cheaper than on all the
It's cheaper to just buy a new R2 unit than it is to get the jet fuel for it.
But see, they've realized that, so they only fill up the R2 units with half jet fuel. Even though there's like still a little bit left, the little sensors in there say, oh, nope, it's empty. So it can't fly anymore.
Oh, poor R2.
Yep. And that is why the R2 doesn't have any jet fuel, because he's like a printer.
That's why he never rockets again. Technology.
There you go. Planned obsolescence.
All right. I don't think I have any more that are directly for that one off of this other website.
All right, then. To the Revenge of the Sith.
All right.
So the Skywalker twins are separated at birth so Vader doesn't find them. Why, then, do we raise Leia in the home of one of the Empire's most outspoken enemies? And furthermore, why do we give Luke to his only known relatives without even bothering to change his surname?
Well, one, nobody's looking for him.
What?
Yeah, don't you know? Anakin Skywalker doesn't have kids.
Anakin Skywalker died, like, a long time ago.
What about that senator lady, though?
What about that senator lady?
Well, it was said in the movie that they've been trying to have kids, so, oh, look at that, they had a kid now. It's not like Vader's spending his whole entire time in Alderaan, like, she's looking about in a third trimester. She wasn't even pregnant. Maybe they adopted. I mean, I think Leia actually knows that she was adopted.
And, like, there's nothing for Darth Vader on Tatooine. Well, not only is there no reason for him to go there, there's also sand there, and we know how he feels about sand. Like, you think that he didn't like sand when he was a human? Think about when he's half robot. Like, getting sand in your respirator and all your, like, electronic joints.
Yeah, but what about the whole just having another Skywalker running around?
Well, I mean, Skywalker Shmi has a family. She's not, like, he's not the only Skywalker in the universe. Skywalker's probably, like, Jones or Smith, like, on Tatooine and in the Outer Rim.
It might actually be there's other Skywalkers living on Tatooine.
Yeah, it's probably a fairly common name. Like when Luke goes to Anchorhead.
Pick up some power converters.
To pick up his power converters. He sometimes has the order mixed up with the other Luke Skywalker.
That's why he prefers to go to Tashi Station. Better customer service.
All right.
Anakin is a Jedi turncoat, so it is not clear how he is protected from Order 66.
So he wasn't actually hanging out with any clones when Order 66 was released.
And they have you know, let's look at it this way. They have orders to kill the Jedi Anakin Skywalker, but the Emperor has a new apprentice called Darth Vader.
It just happens to look a lot like Anakin Skywalker, but it's a...
But I mean, it's that guy running around with like a robot arm and a red lightsaber.
Yeah, and all the Jedis don't have red lightsabers. That was part of the programming, probably. Does he have a red sky?
No, he does not. He
not yet. That's true. He doesn't have his red lightsaber yet.
He has a blue one.
He's still mucking about with his blue one.
He's still mucking about with his blue one because then he loses it in the...
This is your father's lightsaber. He used it to kill a whole room of younglings. He'd want you to have this.
So, yeah, I think it's... the order is to kill the Jedi commanders and near them, but they can then receive further orders. I mean...
Maybe it's Order 66B or something.
As the Emperor's all like, oh yeah, I designate him as non-targeted.
And it's possible that... So Palpatine has been prepping Anakin like since basically the very beginning. Who's to say that Order 66 wasn't built in with Anakin like excluded from that already?
I mean, if we have enough prescience to build ourselves a clone army before we know we're going to need one.
Yeah.
And have already included Order 66... Why not include an exception for
one Anakin Skywalker who you happen to believe is the chosen one, which of course is who you are going to seduce to the dark side.
Uh-huh.
That Emperor.
Planning ahead. Good old Sheev.
He's got...
That is such a dumb name. Can I say that? When I heard that's actually his name is Sheev Palpatine, I'm like, no, it's not. That's dumb.
So if you want something really funny, the first time I ever heard that his name was actually Sheev Palpatine was in a comedy Star Wars role-playing game podcast, and I 100% thought that it was something that they made up for it, and then I found out it was real, and I laughed even harder.
So here's a question for you. If you think that name's dumb, do you know the name of the guy who's selling death sticks to Obi-Wan Kenobi?
What is his name?
Sleazebagano.
Sleazebag.
Think that nice. His parents are pigeonholing him or something. I don't know. Maybe George Lucas isn't good with names.
Maybe. Look, he just has fun with names. Because most of the names aren't on screen anyways. Like, where did they ever say on screen, Sheev?
They don't.
I mean, it's like Ewok.
Well, we had TV movies to tell us about that one.
Heck yeah.
All right. So, how about this? They have all this advanced medical equipment available to them. And Padme should have known she was carrying twins prior to the actual birth, but we just don't know. I mean, the actual comment here says unless the Force prevented this, but why didn't she know she was having twins?
Well, I mean, if we go with just the actual comment, maybe the Force prevented it. Done. Plot hole solved, given your own conditions.
But let's take a more humanistic approach to this. Padme is an unwed mother, a working mother, and she's having relationships with arguably one of the more important people of the galaxy. I mean, this galaxy does rotate around the Skywalker family, but that's besides the point. It's not like she's going to go to a public hospital and be like, I think I'm pregnant. I need an ultrasound. Like, well, who's the father, Padme? She would be in the tabloids, the Coruscant tabloids, all day.
Former Queen of Naboo, pregnant with Jedi's children?
Oh, yeah.
That'll be right up next to... Batboy leads Republic Army to Sith Lord.
You keep Batboy out of this. He's a hero.
It might be bad optics. So also, maybe they didn't really care. Some people are like, don't give me any information other than is the baby healthy or not. And I think maybe Padme just likes surprises. She likes surprise birthday parties.
Surprise choking. I don't know.
I don't know that she really liked that.
But she looked so happy. She was like clawing at her throat. It's like, this is great.
Do you know what happy looks like, Eric?
Sure, whatever.
But yeah, maybe she's all like, yeah, just tell me if the baby's healthy and don't tell me anything else. I want it to be a surprise. And they're like, baby? Baby is healthy?
Yes. And she's like, it really is healthy, right, guys? You're acting weird.
They're like, yes, the baby. There is no health problems.
They're droids. They would have to follow her instructions perfectly because... So they'd be like, okay, yes, it's healthy.
So, also, that probably leads up to the whole her dying because she wanted to die. Like, there's nothing wrong with her. She lied, and she made them lie, too. She didn't want them to use the medical technology. So, Obi-Wan Kenobi would understand. He's all about the slight twists of truth. So he accepts that when they come up and say, nothing's wrong with her, she just seems to die from despair. What he heard was that she asked not to be resuscitated.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, I also think that Naboo followed after Qui-Gon Jinn's philosophy and became a hippy-dippy planet. And so it's like, no, this crystal's going to save me. Blah. And then they die. Because they're hippies.
All right, what's our next plot hole?
Well, the next one is that since Jedis can use the Force to see the future, how come they need holographic closed-circuit television to see the past?
Because we all use closed-circuit television to see the past.
But how come Jedi need it?
They don't need to. I mean, sometimes you're just like, I don't want to use the Force for everything. Give me some grainy images.
Look, if you had the Force, you'd use it for everything.
No, I wouldn't.
That's what a Sith would do. Absolutely.
Also, stuff you have recorded on CCTV, you can show to other people.
So what you're saying is the Jedi goes around like, uh-oh, someone broke into here. I'm seeing Bob in accounting. But, sir, you don't like Bob in accounting. Are you sure it was him? Yes, I am sure it was Bob in accounting.
I could see it through the Force.
Oh, well, I don't have the Force. And he is a master Jedi. I mean...
That feels like that sort of thing's not admissible in court. It's just, you know, it's good to be able to see things with your grainy blue image eyes.
I mean, even droids can see holograms.
But, I mean, only what... Less than 1% of 1% of 1% of the galactic population can use the Force to see in the past. So you just get used to looking things that were recorded. And then instead of, you know, sitting down and meditating, and maybe the Force might show you these images because you're not 100% in control of what the Force is going to show you.
So, if the legend of Darth Plagueis is censored material, even within the Jedi Order, it is at least questionable how Palpatine, a seemingly random politician, knows about it. Yet Anakin never thinks about this, even though he knows there is a Sith Lord hiding inside the Senate.
Okay, so we'll go with the first one. They don't know that the Sith Lord's hiding inside the Senate. They know that there's a Sith Lord.
And they know that the Sith Lord is influencing their ability to use the Force.
So they assume he's part of the government, but they don't know for sure that he's in the Senate.
They don't assume he's part of the government. All they say is, if we tell the government, our enemies are going to multiply. So that's why we should keep this secret to ourselves.
Now... Next thing, Palpatine is the Supreme Chancellor of the Senate in wartime. He is the guy that all of the secrets get told to. Now, the Jedi are a religious faction that are helping out with the government. But the government is actually not the Jedi, so they have different records than the Jedi do. So, while the Jedi Order can censor their old material all about Darth Plagueis, the official records kept at the Senate's Library of, you know, the Grand Library of the Republic, still have all the information there readily available for someone like, say, the Commander-in-Chief to go and take a look at.
I mean, and just generally speaking, I don't think Anakin's in the frame of mind where he's thinking about where this information is coming from, really. Because Palpatine is grooming him and leading him along and tantalizing him. He's bringing up Darth Plagueis because of Anakin's worries. And that's what Anakin's thinking about is, oh, well, this sounds like information that could be useful. Now thinking about where did this information come from? Why can I trust this?
I also think that Anakin's not too quick on the uptake because Palpatine had to basically come out and say, I can save her with the dark side of the Force. And he's like, wait, what? You're an evil Sith? Yeah, Anakin.
No, Anakin. I am an evil Sith Lord, pal.
I didn't spend 8 years in evil graduate school to just be called Mister.
So yeah, I just, you know, I don't think it's surprising. It's just part of the whole slowly coming forward saying, hey, do you notice I'm Sith? Do you notice I'm Sith? You want to be Sith too? He's not getting those notes where he's, you know, yes or no, check yes if you want to be a Sith.
The rest of the class didn't pass it to Anakin because he wasn't the cool kid.
Yeah.
So we have the benefit of that we know that Emperor Palpatine is a Dark Lord of the Sith. But if we were to take that from their certain point of view, Palpatine is just a well-informed man, like Richard said. So stop bringing your future crap into this past selves. I don't know. Prequels, sequels are hard, okay?
All right. How about this one? so Yoda must use a cane to get around. However, when he pulls out that lightsaber and he no longer has a cane, he's just like flipping around, so agile. He's jumping, he's bouncing, he's doing kick flips, spinning. He's earning all those points in Tony Hawk.
Now, there's the real easy answer. Yoda doesn't need a cane to get around, but he finds it excessively useful to have people underestimate him.
It's his point and stick.
And he gets to hit people with him sometimes.
He can whop droids with it if he feels like.
Just useful tool to have around. And when you get old, you start to think of stuff like, well, shoot, why can't I wear my pajamas all the time?
Well, you need to be old to think that?
Need to be old to get away with it.
Oh. Okay.
And then you have a cane, too.
And then you're like, you know what? I can just wear my pajamas, and if anybody calls me on it, I'm going to hit them with a stick.
And usually you can't walk around with a stick you're going to hit people with. But when you're old, they think you need it.
I guess we could to diverge from that very fun, you know, the
train of thought.
The Marie Kondo, the Kondo's razor thought. Yoda has the Force, and the Force grants special abilities like enhanced speed and endurance.
You can jump further than you would normally.
You can run faster than you would normally.
You can survive falls that you shouldn't be able to.
You can spin in circles without getting dizzy.
And if you're Yoda, you can do all these.
That's a dark side thing, Richard. I'm just saying, like, it's not something a Jedi would teach you.
All I'm saying is that Yoda spins around in an awful lot of circles, and he doesn't seem to have problems with his equilibrium.
He doesn't speak in complete sentence, or his sentences are all garbled. He has brain damage.
Yeah, but it's not affecting his balance.
See, Palpatine also spins around, but he has perfect dictation.
Yeah, but he doesn't spin around like Yoda spins around.
He spins in like a corkscrew.
He does the corkscrew attack.
That's worse.
Yeah, but like Yoda gets all like Nailmaster Sly up in here.
Spinning is a dark side ability.
I don't know. I think spinning's pretty cool. It's a cool trick, I think.
And what did that... But just to prove my point, what happened to that kid, John?
That kid happened to win the Bunta Eve pod race.
No, he had already won at that point.
Yep.
What was his future like?
He had a wife and two kids and became the second in command, essentially, of an entire empire. I don't see where he went wrong.
So Vader did nothing wrong then?
No. Anakin Skywalker didn't do anything wrong.
Vader killed a lot of people. Yeah, Vader did lots of stuff wrong.
So based off that, Anakin didn't become the second in command of a galactic empire. Vader did. They're two completely different people. I mean, we haven't seen them in the same room together, but...
So I kind of agree with Eric that spinning without getting dizzy is a dark side force power. But we know that, Jedi can use a little bit of dark side force because they're wise. Not too much.
And so that was Yoda's?
Yeah, as long as you use it only for defense, never for attack. So he can use it to dodge, but not to attack.
Uh-huh.
Okay, makes sense.
I mean, like Luke totally choked those pit guards.
I mean, I guess that makes sense from a certain point of view. I have to... favorite plot hole.
I just didn't think we'd get into this really intense emotional conflict over whether or not using the Force to keep yourself from being dizzy is a dark side Force power or not. Like, lines were drawn.
These are the important plot holes here. Star Wars fans have been debating decades over whether or not stopping yourself from getting dizzy using the Force is dark side or light side.
All right, so now a lot of ones on Digital Spy are directly to relationship between the prequel trilogy and the original trilogy.
Well, this is where it fails, is right after Revenge of the Sith and the original trilogy.
Well, I thought Rogue One and Solo happened after this.
Yeah, but they're not...
They're not a trilogy.
Yeah, they're not part of the trilogies. They're adjacent stories.
Oh, okay, we'll cover
those. It's a Star Wars story.
All right, real quick. Elected royalty. The Queen of Naboo is elected, and then she can be unelected and become a senator instead. And also, they like elect 13-year-olds.
So it's... Queen is a title, much like America's Top Model. It's a popularity contest, and then you get used as a figurehead by a couple of companies for a couple of years, and then you get too old and you can't wear the same clothes anymore, and so they send you off to do other things.
I was just going to say, the Democratic People's Republic of North Korea is neither a democracy nor a republic, but that's still their title.
So words can mean different things to different people.
Just because it's a supreme leader for life.
Just because it's a queen doesn't mean that it's a monarchy. It could be that that was just when they became a democracy.
They're they like, kept the title.
They kept the title.
It's what people were used to.
Though I feel like the top model thing might be true because, I mean, Naboo was all about the style.
All right, I guess.
And so, like, as soon as Padme stops being the queen, it's not like they're still doing girls who can wear the white face and complicated hairdresses.
Mm-hmm.
Just what they look for in a queen.
Oh, obviously, if you're going to have any basis of ruling, I mean, makes the most sense.
All right. What about Obi-Wan Kenobi's droid amnesia? When he meets R2-D2 in A New Hope, he's all like, I don't remember ever owning a droid, but we know that there's at least two droids that were attached to starships he was piloting, and he totally knew R2-D2.
But he never owned them. They were just kind of there.
Like, they were commissioned to him.
The starship, the people who gave him a starfighter are like, yep, this R2 unit goes with this starfighter. Don't blow it up like you did your last three. He's like, huh, well, no promises.
It's just a droid anyways. They're just
it's not like they're people. It's
like a mirror. Seriously, guys, I don't get upset if somebody kicks my Roomba.
Well, I would. Roombas cost a lot of money. I mean, I wouldn't be upset about it. I mean, it's not a person.
Yeah, especially if somebody could hand you a new one.
That's true. I mean, he has the Jedi stipend, so they can burn through credits like no one's business.
All right. How about Obi-Wan Kenobi's aging between the two trilogies? I mean, he's Ewan McGregor in one, and then
Alec Guinness.
Oh, yeah. So he's Alec, and then Alec Guinness. So he's got gray hair, and he just looks like 70.
Well, you know, I suspect that perhaps Obi-Wan Kenobi is somebody like Patrick Stewart, who just gets old really young and then stays old forever.
To bring up another point, though, he's living in the wilderness on a desert planet. I mean, that can't be easy for someone.
Two suns, a lot of wind, and that sand. Look what it does to your skin.
Also,
there's reasons Anakin didn't like it.
Also, I mean, he's carrying the weight of the loss of the Republic and all the tyranny of the Empire.
I'd also say he's also carrying the weight of failing his pupil, you know, because that's basically what the prequel trilogy is about, is Obi-Wan's failure.
So, yeah, that's just a lot of stress.
It sucks. It ages you.
All right, robes. Jedi wear robes. That's like their uniform. And then Obi-Wan Kenobi goes into hiding, and he still keeps wearing the robes.
But he wears different robes.
Lots of people wear robes, though. I mean,
yeah, that's my point. This is the big one, is how, you know, robes were like the uniform. It's more like no uniform and no fashion was the Jedi style, because you see so many background characters wearing robes. You see Uncle Owen wears robes.
Isn't it more just... It seems like in Star Wars that form follows function. Like, they're going to take things that work well first and then maybe pretty it up or whatever. But it's the...
Well, if you go for one of the interesting, like, design choices for the original trilogy, was just there was a rule you couldn't see any fasteners with people's outfits. Like, that's honestly why all of the characters look the way they do. And so robes are real easy for everybody.
Just lots of people wear robes. So you see an old person in a robe, doesn't mean they're a Jedi. It
means they got their Snuggie on backwards. Poor senile old man.
All right, and here's our last real quick one. The Jedi were like this major component of galactic politics. 20 years later, most people think they're a myth.
I think you actually mentioned that earlier in the podcast, though, John. Like, how many... Out of the total population of the entire galaxy, how many people are actually trained Jedis? Like, it's a percent of a percent of a percent or something like that.
Yeah, it is a tiny portion, and most people wouldn't have met them. Like, have actually seen or met a Jedi.
And another thing, too, the Emperor is actually... So after Revenge of the Sith, the Emperor has an ongoing campaign to eradicate the Jedi from the public conscience.
So that if you think of Jedi, you think of them as traitors to the galaxy. And if you don't think they're traitors to the galaxy, it's because you don't know they existed.
It's like, yeah, they said they had magic powers, but they didn't. And they tried to overthrow the Senate.
It was just sorcerer's tricks. Illusions.
And again, I'm going to go with stress this. The Jedi were a religious order, not part of the actual government. And so it's like, you know, there's the whirling dervishes in Turkey. They are not, they're a religious sect, not part of the government. They exist, but who's ever met one?
You've heard legends of them, though. You know they whirl.
I've never even, actually, I knew dervish was a word. I knew it was like a religious word for like Muslim or whatever, but I didn't actually know what it meant.
Oh, yeah. It's this, it's a specific thing. Put links in the end notes about this. It's really interesting. They twirl. It's how they get their religious high.
And so, yeah, if you think about it, because our perspective of the story is told from, you know, high points of government with the Jedi. But if you're just, you know, off in the boonies, like on Tatooine, like maybe you've heard of a Jedi. You've heard stories of what they can do, but like you've never seen it. It doesn't even sound real. I mean,
come on. Who can actually like stick their hand out and make something come to them? That would be the greatest thing ever. You'd never have to go and like get your, you wouldn't have to leave your chair to get your blue milk in the middle of your show.
I'm pretty sure Watto can do that though.
That's because he has slaves.
Yeah. Maybe that's what the Jedi had.
Oh yeah. The Jedi had slaves. They were horrible people. The Empire said so.
Yeah. I mean, they can convince people to do things against their will.
Blackmail.
They had magical laser swords. That doesn't even make sense.
I mean, seriously, who'd use a sword when you could have a gun?
Let's see, if I want to stab someone, but they're all the way over there. Maybe I should use a long-range weapon, like everyone else is. You mean I have to go run up to them to kill them? That's just so dumb.
That seems unsafe. They would shoot me.
So yeah, I think that's the whole thing, is that for the majority of the universe, Jedi were already a myth.
So I believe that's all the plot holes we had then.
Yeah, that's all the plot holes. What's our thoughts? Thoughts on the prequel trilogy.
So, I don't dislike the prequel trilogy as much as I used to dislike the prequel trilogy. There's a lot of stuff I actually do enjoy from it. Though I would have to say that my favorite thing about the prequel trilogy is a Goddess the Clone Wars show.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a lot of good concepts and world building, and but then, you know, there's just kind of some bad directing here and there, or things that Lucas didn't really care about.
Or no just, one would tell him no on.
Or in like bad writing sometimes that just didn't get polished up ever. Because, I mean, the original trilogy worked because it was the amalgam of a lot of people's fashions and having to make do. But with Star Wars, the prequel trilogies, it was, they had the money. They could just do what they want. They were didn't really have any limitations to force them to make compromises.
I mean, Lucas obviously tried to like advance the technology of the filmmaking,
which is something he enjoys.
I mean, that's basically what Star Wars is all about. Like the original Star Wars, you know, new blue screen techniques, Empire Strikes Back, even better blue screen techniques. And
yeah, they was constantly pushing. And as a advancement of filmmaking is one of his things he just really enjoys. Now, yeah. So what are your thoughts, Eric?
I'm trying to debate whether, like, I like the prequel trilogies. I obviously not as much as the original because I'm a sane human, mostly sane human. But I don't know. I think I might be looking at them through rose-tinted glasses because, so those movies actually came out around my birthday every, or when they were released. So it became a tradition for me to go and see a Star Wars movie on my birthday, which was a lot of fun. But now Disney's releasing them all in the winter time, so that's nowhere near my birthday. So, you know, that's just more of a personal, like, what they mean to me. But
they mean you're getting older?
Sure. But, like, I don't hate the prequels. I do think they have some dumb ideas, like the diner, the 50s diner in Attack of the Clone.
Oh, yeah.
Or Attack of the Clones. I mean, all in all, they're not bad. I mean, they're still Star Wars. And plus, we got Duel of the Fates out of that.
That's true.
John Williams.
Yeah, the music has always been spot on. See, I think of like small changes I think would have made the whole thing better.
Oh, yeah. I definitely have my list of things that, like small things I would change to make them fit the original trilogy just a little bit more.
I also think, like, for instance, one is if Qui-Gon Jinn was Obi-Wan Kenobi's first apprentice instead of Obi-Wan Kenobi being Qui-Gon Jinn's apprentice. because then that stays true with Yoda. But then we could have this theme.
He loses his apprentices.
Like in the very first movie, he loses his apprentice to a Sith Lord. His second apprentice gets seduced to become a Sith Lord, and so that makes his death in A New Hope more meaningful now.
Because he dies to protect his latest apprentice from a Sith Lord.
Like, just that one little change in that one movie, you can complete this whole story arc. Because everyone knows already that Anakin Skywalker is going to become Darth Vader. You didn't know about this Qui-Gon Jinn character. And also then that would have made that Obi-Wan Kenobi could be slightly older. So it's less of the jump.
How old was Ewan McGregor when he did the Star Wars? I know he was fairly young in Episode 1.
He's only like 10 years older. Actually, I don't think he's in 10 years older than Hayden Christensen. I know they're surprisingly close to age.
But so another thing, too, when The Last Jedi came out, they had old Luke Skywalker in there. Mark Hamill in that role was actually older than Alec Guinness as Obi-Wan Kenobi in the first Star Wars movie. So I think Alec Guinness just looks like an old person, even though he wasn't super old. I think he was in his 60s when he did Star Wars. I guess I could figure it out. I mean, if only there was the power of connect.
Everyone's like looking stuff up right now instead of thinking about what they like about the trilogy.
All right. So he was 28 when Phantom Menace came out.
All right.
So 28.
Wait, he's like 28 in that? He looks like he's a teenager.
He's 28. And then he's 31. He was 31 for Attack of the Clones and 34 for Revenge of the Sith.
Alec Guinness. Alec Guinness was born in 1914. So he was 63 when Star Wars came out. So how old? He was 30. How much was he?
34.
34
plus 18. So, I mean,
off by a decade.
So that would have been about 52.
So.
Maybe because he had such a youthful face, it maybe really is. It's just Obi-Wan Kenobi doesn't age, and then he just gets old, and then he's just old.
I still attribute it to the harsh climate that he has to live in.
So, any other thoughts on the prequel trilogies?
So, I do have a funny Star Wars story.
All right,
where with the prequels, I went and saw them all in the theaters, but Revenge of the Sith came out while I was on my mission, and so I was worried that I wasn't going to be able to see it. So I went, and when I got home, went and saw it while it was still in the Dollar Theater.
Nice. I remember those.
And then while I was in there, there was another family that was watching it as well, and the kid in the seat next to me fell asleep on me in the middle of Revenge of the Sith. Like, during the big end fight, he's just tips over in his seat, lays on my shoulder. And, like, his whole family, when they notice, just busts up laughing. And his dad grabs him and just kind of moves him over to fall asleep on him. But, like, that's one of the funniest things that has ever happened to me, was having some kid fall asleep on me in the middle of the end fight of Revenge of the Sith.
I mean, what does that say about that fight, though?
I thought that was a really good fight. That's one thing that the prequels did a lot better than the original trilogy. Obviously, they had the better techniques and whatnot, but it had a lot better saber battles.
I don't agree with you there.
Okay, so okay, let's look.
So, at the so you're looking, Star Wars. You're looking at like for choreography,
yes,
but for meaning of the fights, they are much weaker.
Oh yeah, I mean,
so it's all flash, no substance.
Isn't that basically what Star Wars is, though? It's candy.
It's supposed to be a little bit of both, though.
But the funny thing for me was just, like, the kid was just super tired. Because it was it was a late show. But yeah, there was just some kid who fell asleep on my shoulder in the middle of Star Wars. And that was when I saw, like, that was the first time I ever went and saw Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah, I didn't get to see Revenge of the Sith in theaters. I had to watch that on a DVD.
It came out, I think, 2 months before I went out on my mission. So I'm like, sweet, I get to go see it. And then all my companions, at the beginning, like, none of my companions had been like, we haven't seen it. Like, I have. I've seen it like 3 times. Because I'm like, I need to fill up the canteen for this.
See, that was me with the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie, because it came out right before I went in, right before I went. And so I had seen it and nobody else had. It was funny.
All right. Well, so yeah.
Is there anything else we want to talk about Star Wars? I mean, I guess we're
going to have... Clone Wars is cool.
Yeah, the Clone Wars TV series is the best thing to come out of the prequel trilogy.
So I went to... I tried to watch it, but...
The Netflix...
Netflix took it off. Or I could also say, yeah, I saw it. I don't... I mean, it was like a 9-episode like special on Cartoon Network or whatever.
But... not quite, yeah. Actually, because you have a Disney Plus, though.
Yeah, as soon as it comes out, that's one... Well, I'm first watching The Mandalorian, but one of the main reasons I did get it is so I could watch Clone Wars and Rebels and all those other shows that I hear add a lot to the universe, but you don't really ever get to see because they're movies, and why on earth would they focus on these small stories?
And that's the reason why I like the Clone Wars so much, is it's the best representation of Anakin Skywalker and his fall to the dark side.
Yeah, it helps give you a bigger view of the whole picture of why he was able to flip so, because he kind of was always fighting against the constraint of being the Jedi, or what being a Jedi means, when he sees it as, if I don't do this, I'm failing in what my goal is.
So there's a podcast I listen to called a More Civilized Podcast, and that they were actually talking about Vader and, you know, what is Vader's motivation. And they brought up that Vader is very likely succumbing to the sunk cost fallacy, where Vader has done, or Anakin has done, so many bad things that if he just gives up now,
it won't have been worth it.
It's not worth it. Like I'm pretty sure the Clone Wars really dives into that. I'll name drop them. Just
yeah, about their thoughts on Darth Vader.
Yeah, that was one part of Revenge of the Sith that I had trouble with. That Anakin was like, Obi-Wan is my mentor. I love him. You know, he's amazing. And then, no, I hate Obi-Wan. He was like the Gollum and Smeagol. He had a lot of flip flopping.
Yeah, he flopped. Also, I think I was always bothered by the scene specifically where he kills Dooku.
It's not the Jedi way.
Yeah, and then he, you know, does it. And then afterwards, like...
Eh, whatever.
Well, gonna go kill a room full of kids.
Yeah, then when he's dealing with a... Palpatine, it's... he's like, oh no, we can't kill him. And then when...
We have to, it's not the Jedi way. It's like, you know what, Anakin? Not cutting off people's heads is the Jedi way.
Yeah, I think maybe it was meant to be to show how Anakin flipped, but it doesn't really show it very well. It's just...
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I'd say if the movie was a little bit longer, but it's still a fairly long movie. I think if they needed to delve more into Anakin's motivations.
And the whatnot. Big thing with it is they're trying to show so much about the galaxy, the conflict in general, what else is going on, that if you spent all of the time focusing on Anakin, you would lose what else was going on, which is why the Clone Wars does the better job with it, because they can focus on Anakin.
Yeah, we should wrap this up. I just say, you know, Clone Wars is good. Prequel trilogy's better than I remember, but I still watch the original trilogy more.
Yep.
So I guess we still need to do another episode, just basically our thoughts on
Star Wars. Yeah, we'll just talk about Star Wars. And everyone can skip that if they don't want to hear about Star Wars. I just think you should like us on Facebook and talk about your Star Wars experience with prequel trilogy. What color is your lightsaber?
You can also let us know on Twitter in 280 characters or less. What color is your lightsaber? And whether spinning is a dark art and not taught by the Jedi.
Or... if it won't fit in 248 characters or less, because you have an entire essay on why midichlorians are not the worst thing to have happened to the prequel trilogy, you can send your essay to us at plotspacklepodcast@gmail.com. I will read it, the whole thing, I promise.
That's right, Qui-Gon Jinn.
We would also like to give a huge thank you to our patron members. So from the bottom of our hearts, thank you.
I would totally listen about The Legend of Darth Plagueis for our Patreon members.
And if you would like to join their most excellent ranks, you can head over to patreon.com/plotspackle and also support us there.
And get your friends to support us. Oh, also on iTunes, if you would be so gracious as to give us a rating and a review, that helps us get to help other people realize why spinning is such a dark art.
And of course, if you don't want to do that, you can just foist us on your friends. Just turn it on for them. They don't need to know. It's a surprise.
I just want to point out real quick, I think milk drinking with pizza is a dark art.
Really, John, I'm pretty sure I am the most Sith out of the entire group.
Exactly.
No arguments.
Wizard.
Cola, you're a wacky, you're a fun, midi-chlorians on your tongue.